This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
There's an unforgettable scene in Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 911 where he follows around two US Army recruiters. We see their smirks and smug bravado and watch them as they use dishonest ploys to suck in innocent, poor youth into the Army. But Army recruitment has become harder as the fatalities for US soldiers have been rising, particularly in Iraq. The numbers of recruits are falling. Add to this rising sentiments against the military recruiting in schools, colleges, and universities in the USA. We've reached Amy Hagopian, president of the Parent Teacher Student Association, or PTA, at Garfield High School in Seattle. Her PTA passed a motion against recruiters coming to their school. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Likewise. Now, can you tell us, first of all, who are the students at Garfield High School?
Well, we're in the central area of Seattle. It's a big, diverse high school, almost 1,700 kids. We're about 43% white. The rest are a variety of minority groups, probably 20-some percent black.
And now, it's a magnet school. Can you explain what that means?
Well, back in the years when cities in America were trying to desegregate schools, including Seattle, one of the strategies was to place programs in inner city locations that would attract white students so that white students would go there voluntarily and desegregate the school by their presence. So Garfield received a number of high-end college preparatory programs that were placed there, and those have been in place ever since. And we have had a desegregated school ever since, and it's worked remarkably well.
So this process for desegregation has actually been effective in a poor inner city school?
It has. Yeah, it's been very good. And I think one of the consequences is that we have a PTA that involves the broad sectors across the school. We have black parents, white parents, Asian parents, and we have people from a variety of economic backgrounds. And in that setting, we look out for each other's kids. And when it comes to this particular issue on recruitment, we know that some of our kids are more targeted than others. And when the PTA takes a stand on this, it's a way of showing social solidarity across the classes in our school.
So then what motivated the PTA to pass this motion against recruitment at the school?
Well, we know that our low-income minority kids, especially children in single-parent families, are the strong targets of recruiters. And when they're looking for people to send to the war in Iraq, those are the kids that they think are the best prospects. So the recruiters have become more and more aggressive as students have shown less and less interest in going to that war. So we passed a resolution from our PTA saying that we opposed recruitment in the public schools, all public schools, not just ours. And that was a stand we took earlier this spring, and it has received a remarkable amount of attention from around the country. And I hope it has inspired many other PTSA, when you include students, organizations across the country to look at the recruitment situations in their own schools.
Did you see this as this motion as consistent with the other work of the PTA? Like, does it fit into a context there?
You know, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it, because we are a fairly typical PTA in the sense that we get involved in lots of activities in this school. We hold a regular monthly faculty appreciation lunch. We provide volunteers in the counseling office to file all the forms that need to be filed. We do a reading remediation program. We've actually spent a lot of money on that, hiring staff and recruiting volunteers to help kids improve their reading skills. We do a lot of activities in this school that promote the mission of the PTA, which is to advance the health and welfare of students in our school. So this is definitely in the context of making Garfield a stronger school, making our students more successful, bringing families into contact with the school so that there's a close bond between the school and families, and protecting our kids.
Yeah, it's fascinating that it should be considered to be part of the continuum, not necessarily how the media would portray it generally. Now, your motion coincided with something called Stand Down Day. Could you explain that to us?
You know, that was completely coincidental, but there have been repeated articles in the U.S. press about the aggressive and, in some cases, illegal tactics of recruiters to get kids into the military. And so the various armed forces staged what they called a stand-down day earlier this month, or maybe end of May, where all recruiters were pulled back and given some re-education on the appropriateness of their tactics. And that just happened to coincide in the same week with our resolution.
Can you give us a bit of an idea of, like you've mentioned a couple of times, some of the tactics that are being used, and I don't know whether our listeners would really have much of a sense of that. Can you give us an idea of the sort of tactics that are being used by recruiters in schools?
Yes. You folks who are lucky enough to live in Canada are often spared some of this knowledge. But just this week, Wednesday, in our newspaper, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, and people can find this online if they're interested, a columnist named Susan Painter published a column about recruiters who picked off a kid in Bellingham. And this is just a chilling story about how they went to his workplace. He was working at a restaurant. And let me just read you this paragraph. Next thing Axel knew, that's the name of the kid, the same sergeant who had been recruiting him and another recruiter showed up at the Lacana Brewing Company, the restaurant where he worked. And before Axel, an older cousin and other coworkers knew or understood what was happening, Axel was whisked away in a car. They said we were going somewhere, but I didn't know where we were going or that it was going to be all the way to Seattle, Axel said. Just a few tests and so many free opportunities, the recruiter told him. He could pursue his love of chemistry. He could serve anywhere he chose and leave any time he wanted on an apathy discharge if he didn't like it. And he wouldn't have to go to Iraq if he didn't want to. And then it says at 3:30 in the morning, they put him up in this hotel room. At 3:30 in the morning, they woke him up. And 12 hours later, without further sleep or food, he had taken a battery of tests and signed a lot of papers he hadn't gotten a chance to read. Just formalities, he was told, sign here and here, nothing to worry about. Meanwhile, his mother is freaking out, has no idea where he is, finally figures it out, tracks him down, and has to rescue him from these recruiters. And doesn't this kind of remind people about maybe the Moonies or some weird cult stuff that happens, predators that we warned our kids about when they were little?
It's extraordinary, an amazing, extraordinary story. Now, are there figures for how many students have been recruited from your school?
I have been asking that, and there aren't good figures. And my guess is, given the climate, both the political climate and the academic climate and so on, at Garfield, there probably aren't very many. There are some. There are some schools in the U.S., though, where the recruiters are a virtual daily presence. There are some schools where the recruiters have been asked to teach the PE classes, physical education classes, because schools are broke. And if the recruiters are willing to teach a class, wouldn't that save them some money and be great? And then the recruiters use that as an opportunity to make relationships with students and talk them into these things. And we recently had a court case in the U.S., somebody who had fulfilled his legal obligation to serve in the military, had served his term, was ready to leave, and was told he couldn't leave because of the stop-loss policy. That is, if the military needs you, they can make you stay. And there was a court case about it, and the kid lost, and now has an unlimited commitment to stay in the military. So the thing is, though, when kids sign these contracts, they have no idea what they're signing. They have no idea that there is no way out of these contracts, that they can assign you anywhere they want to, that you are going to Iraq if they want you to go to Iraq, whether you want to play in the band or study chemistry or not.
certainly not the impression they give. Now, Bush approved some legislation called No Child Left Behind. What was that law intended to do, and how does it relate to the recruiting?
Yeah, good question. No Child Left Behind, Bush didn't just approve it, this was his idea. This was legislation that was intended to make public schools more accountable. A very anti-government sort of concept. And so what No Child Left Behind was supposed to do was bring money into schools to improve achievement. It hasn't brought money into schools, but it has brought recruiters into schools. That is, under No Child Left Behind, there is a clause, which many of us didn't know until much later, that the military now has equal access to schools with any other kind of recruiter, college recruiters, employment recruiters. They also are given access to every kid's name, address, and phone number. The schools are forced to hand over lists of all the kids who enroll, and the military then can use those lists to recruit. Now, there is an opt-out clause. Parents who are aware of this can specifically sign a form saying they don't want their kids' names released to the military. So PTA and other organizations have to do a better job of getting the word out that parents need to sign those forms.
But then in the face of this, how do you manage to ban recruiting in your school?
Well, we didn't ban it. What we did was make a statement that we oppose it. And we used that statement to personally inform the recruiters that they weren't welcome here, although they had a legal right to be here. Some school district in the country that has the resources ought to challenge this legally. There's another law in the U.S. called the Solomon Amendment, which requires colleges to provide access to military recruiters or lose any federal funding that they get. And Yale Law School has challenged that law, and it's before the Supreme Court now after Yale was upheld at the district court level. So, schools need to challenge these things in order, again, to defend their students from harassment.
What sort of responses have you had to your motion?
So, the wide range from extremely hostile, very nasty email and phone calls from around the world. Service people are stationed around the world and their families. And understandably, many people in the military and their families resent that they are there and others are not. And that's the situation when there's not a draft. The selection of people who go into the military becomes low-income people without many choices. And they're right. Why should they have to serve when others don't? But some responses have been very positive. It depends a little bit on where the news was shown. For example, when it's on national network news, I get a lot of negative response. When it's on national public radio, I get a lot of positive response. So it just depends on who the audience is. But my email box filled up, lots of phone calls to my home, personal letters. An amazing response, actually.
Well, thanks very much for talking with me this morning about this. Fantastic action on your part.
It's been my pleasure, and I hope that Canada doesn't become overrun with people trying to evade the military.
Well, thanks again. I've been speaking with Amy Hergopian, president of the Parent Teacher Student Association at Garfield High School in Seattle, Washington.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.